Today's talk is on the title of Find Your Voice, Build Your Influence and Impact. Our two speakers are joining us from the Caribbean. And we have Barbara and Garfield King, a husband and wife team with a collective experience of running training courses, presentation skills, conflict resolution, parent education, and I think I could keep going with that list. So very, very experienced. Both of them are also experienced broadcasters in the Caribbean. So we're very fortunate. We've asked them to cover a few things specifically. So they're going to touch on them. And in the questions and answers, you'll be able to ask them to unpick it further for you. So the first thing we've asked them to explore with us is how to find and make the most of our voice. Now, it may be the voice or the tone of your voice, or it may be what you have to say. What's your message? What's your gift out there to the world? Secondly, communicate assertively and authentically. And then thirdly, the thing we've asked them to explore is amplify your influence and impact. So they're going to share for 40 minutes, and then we're going to ask you to send in your questions to us through the question and answer link. And I will be putting those questions to Barbara and to Garfield after the talk. After the talk, I'm not sure which of you is going to do it, but either Barbara or Garfield are going to do a short reflective meditation with us, and then they'll be taking your questions. So Barbara, Garfield, thank you. Over to you.
Thanks, Arti. Thanks for that introduction. Much appreciated. Good evening, everybody. Good day. For us in the Caribbean, it's afternoon. And for wherever you are in the world, it is, I guess, that time. So find your voice. We like to believe that your voice does not need to be found. Your voice needs to be allowed. Allowed. And the voice is also, let's call it, a modality of the communication process. And communication in its most fundamental manifestation is an exchange of energy. Energy. I said this to a friend of mine who is a writer, and he said that to call it an exchange of energy sounded a bit too new agey. Well, possibly, but energy has been around for quite a long time. So we like to think of the fundamental aspect of communication as that connection that exists when energy is exchanged, and the voice being one of those components. So what is voice? A little about what that means. Now, when we're talking about voice this evening, we're speaking on two levels. We're talking about who you are and what you are. Your ability to get in touch with what you want to say, what you want to deliver, the message that you have. But we're also speaking about the physical aspect of the voice. How does your voice sound? So we're dealing with the physical and the non-physical side of things. And physically, there are several mechanical aspects of the voice, of course, from the ear that comes from deep down inside the abdomen, aided by the diaphragm pushing it up through the windpipe. We have the vibration that exists with the vocal folds or vocal cords, the larynx or the voice box. We're talking about the sound then coming out of your mouth and the role that all of these parts play in getting the voice out. We'll talk a little bit about that. This obviously is not a session for voice training, but just to give you a sense of how the voice manifests on the physical side. What about the non-physical side, Barbara?
Well, from the non-physical side, I think of the voice as the internal part of us, I'll call it soul, the core intelligence that is within us, which has its own voice that we hear in our head all the time. Right? So that voice coming from it within is the expression of the thoughts, the ideas, the emotions, moving them from the inside to the outside. And the two work together. What's going on inside us works with the mechanical parts for us to be able to show the world, let the world hear and see who we are. So one cannot go without the other, but you can train yourself to be more conscious of what you're doing and to be more conscious of the words that are coming out of your mouth and more conscious of how you use the mechanical things that you use every day to speak in a way that makes your communication far more effective and impactful. And we're going to talk about more specifics of both of those. So Garfield, maybe you could talk about how to get that external voice clearer.
Well, sure. As I say, it's in the time that we have, we can just begin to explore a few things, but I'd like to bring your attention to your breath, as they say, because our breathing has an impact on the sound, tone, and quality of our voice. And as I think many of us have experienced, our breathing can be very significantly impacted by our emotions. But as well, our emotions can impact our breathing, kind of go together. You know, when somebody is anxious or nervous, we say, okay, take a breath, slow down, take a breath, breathe. And we say something like that instinctively. Nobody had to tell us to say, we know that as soon as a baby is born, you know, the little slap on the buttocks to get the air in to start breathing. The first thing we do when we come into this place is we take a breath. And the last thing we do when we transition is take a breath. And so when we realize that, and we realize that the breath is an integral part of how the voice works, it then gives us an understanding of how important the voice can be when we connect it with the breath. So one way of getting your voice clearer is to learn some techniques of breathing deep down so that we can get the air from the abdomen, aided by the diaphragm pushing up. We can adopt a posture. For example, if you allow me to read something, which is something of what RT said, and I'm going to read it with my head down, and I will say that, find your voice and you will increase your ability to spark big influence. And I say the same thing with my head up and the paper up. Find your voice and you will increase your ability to spark big influence. Now, I didn't speak louder. All I did was hold my head up. And in that process, the windpipe was free. So the air, that amount of air coming from deep within, down in the abdomen, is free to move. When my head is down, I'm blocking it. When my head is up, I think you can hear the difference. The third part of that is simply by opening your mouth a little bit wider, because air or sound is measured in decibels, air pressure. And most people only open their mouth a small amount when they speak. So only moving a small amount of air, open your mouth just a little bit wider, you're moving more air. So even without forcing it, you're increasing decibels, more air pressure. So it's perceived there's more volume. And all of that without making any effort. And it starts with the breathing.
So why should somebody even consider making those alterations to the way they communicate?
Simply because as a listener, and I think we've all experienced this, when you can't fully understand what somebody is saying, in a very short space of time, you switch off. It's too much effort. And in this day and age, who has the time to make all that effort to listen? Whereas If you make this small amount of effort on your part as the person sending out the information, you then make it so easy for people to absorb what you're saying. And one of the things about that is, and I don't want to make it sound like a confidence trick, because it isn't. Because remember, communication is a tool and it can be used for the power of good and the power of not so good. But let's stick with the good part, please. When you speak in a way that people don't have to make much effort to grasp what you're saying, they will stick with it longer. They will engage more easily. And that's why it's worth making that little bit of effort simply to engage people so that they feel included in what you're sharing.
And this could be in the workplace, it could be with friends, it could be if you're standing up in front of an audience in a boardroom, a workroom, or just talking to your family. You know, just
absolutely
being able to say what you want to say clearly gives you a better chance of being heard properly. And it also helps you to get out what you want to say.
Yeah, absolutely. If we know, if somebody's trying to explain something, even if they're telling the truth, even if they have a really good point to make, if you're not clear on what they're saying, and if their voice sounds, or if their voice is not pleasing, then there's a tendency to not want to listen. So those three very simple things that I mentioned, of course, it takes some time to develop them. But in the process of doing that, you will find that whatever kind of voice you have, because some people think their voice is not any good. I have never actually heard a bad voice. I've heard voices that could use a little bit of work, but I don't think I've ever heard a bad voice in all my years of training people, which is close to 40 years now. So making that little effort just allows you so much freedom to express yourself in a way that people feel engaged.
And you come across more confident. So you're breathing properly, which helps you, especially when you're feeling emotional. It helps you to get the words out without the coming. Head up is the other one. Keep your head up.
Yep. And open your mouth just a little bit wider. Just a little bit. We're not saying nothing like that. Always say just a little bit wider, because what that does, especially if you're a fast speaker, opening your mouth just a little bit wider will slow your speech down a little bit. And it will also improve your enunciation, the clarity of your words, especially the beginnings and endings, which make it, again, easier to be understood.
Gets rid of the mumbling. And if you're from the Caribbean or you have Caribbean family, you may well be familiar with being told, open your mouth.
Yes, there's an expression they say out here, which is, open your beak and speak. Yes.
Not with that accent.
Yes, not okay. With that accent.
So when we look at the internal voice now, think about when you are in a quiet room or a quiet space, if you've been in one of those recently, the voices that are playing in your head. What are the voices that you're hearing? Is it your voice, your mother's, father's, the voices of teachers, or maybe a celebrity you follow, or the writers from a TV program that you follow? Or maybe you're into politics and in your mind is playing the critiques and the latest wisecracks people have about politicians and what politicians are doing or not doing. What are the voices that are playing in your head? And which one is yours? Which one is yours? Because sometimes we don't hear that quiet voice that is truly the voice of our heart or soul, that's really us, because there are so many other voices occupying our heads, our minds, our thoughts, whatever you think of it as. So the point of finding your voice within all of that noise and clutter is to be able to identify that still small voice, if it is still and small, and making it louder and become more prominent from giving it the attention of you hearing it, understanding what it's saying, and responding to it. So to do that, you have to become comfortable with some silence. If you are one of those people who must have some background noise, whether it's the TV, a radio, a podcast, music, something that keeps you listening and not listening to the internal. So you're listening to an external voice of some kind, but not listening to your own. It means you're going to have to spend some time without sound and hear what's really going on inside your mind. Sometimes it's your body that's talking, that's telling you, hey, that knee is hurting, or your back is hurting, or, oh, that gastric reflux really needs some attention. You got to hear those. You got to make the time to hear it. And as you hear and respond to it, it finds the confidence to become louder and more prominent, because that voice is there to help us. So how peaceful are you? What's disturbing you? Is there something that someone said that jangled you, but you didn't quite get the point of what it is? That's the voice I'm asking you to try to tune into. Identify the inner voice that is yours and learn to build a relationship with it. And that is simple, but maybe not easy. One thing you can do is make some time a couple of times a day, or maybe just starting with once a day, where you just sit in silence and tune into your inner self. And notice what you're feeling. Notice what your body's feeling. Notice the emotions that you're experiencing. Notice what you might be worrying about or excited about. And maybe jotting it down. I found it really helpful to write down these things. It could be in the form of a journal, or it could be just jotting down. Sometimes doing doodles as to where your mind is going, so that you get a sense of what's really going on with you and what you might be needing to pay attention to. Does that make sense, Darcy?
Yeah, of course. I like the point about the internal and external working together, because when the two come together, there is that level of alignment. And when that happens, it's a lot easier for people to feel your authenticity, or to feel your truth, if you like, the internal and external working together. You know, there's a side that happens, and I like your point about the silence, because it's so weird that to really find your voice, we think of voice, we think of sound, but in order to come into sound in a way that really works, often comes from a place of silence. And it reminds me of something, who was it? I can't remember offhand, but it was something I was reading many years ago, and made the point that all sound is born from silence. And when that sound dies, it returns to silence. Mm-hmm. And that blew my mind, because it was really appreciating the fact that silence is part of the process. Like music we were talking about earlier, is there's all the notes, but you know, it's often, as has been said many times, it's often the spaces between the notes that give the notes themselves the clarity and the space to exist and to breathe and to be fully accommodated. And I think it's the same with us as human beings. We need to embrace those periods of silence, so that when we come into sound, there is the power, there is the energy. Yeah. But you know, sometimes there are blocks to having a clear voice, to having these two things work together. And the removing of the blocks usually comes when there's an honest and open acceptance of all of who you are, even the bits that you might consider not so good. But I think that can be such a challenge for most of us, because for many of us, there's a fear of facing who we are, or more specifically, a fear of facing what we're feeling, our emotions. And this fear can cause us to shut down internally. And when we shut down internally, we obviously shut down also externally, because it's almost like we're becoming invisible. And when we do try to come into sound, there's stuff happening in the head, but it's just not finding its way down into the mouth. We can't find the words. And even if we do find the words, they're not always the right ones. And sometimes the way it comes out is not what we intend. So we need to be aware as well that it's not all about the words. Because even if you have the right words, the way you deliver them might have an impact on how they're received. So when you can remove some of that fear, what happens is there is a lessening, there is a freeing up of emotion. And we talk about, as we said in the beginning, that communication is an exchange of energy. So what does that mean? Back in the day, we used to say, hey man, feel the vibes. Well, that's a very real thing. When you think about it, somebody might walk into a room, they don't have to say anything, and you feel something. Or you can be sitting next to someone and you kind of, there's a connection happening, or a repulsion. You meet somebody for the first time and you might say, well, there's something about her, I just feel funny about it. That's the vibes that we're talking about. That's the energy. So when we say that communication is an exchange of energy, we're talking about what makes the connection. Yes, obviously we still need to find the right words. We still need to be aware of our body language and paralinguistic, you know, how you say what you say. We need to be aware of all of those things. But all of those things, the words, the body language, how you say what you say, that's like icing on the cake, because they're there to validate that energy exchange so that we can be a bit clearer on what we're feeling. But the essential connection is that exchange of energy. And the most important person you communicate with is Barbara. No, I don't mean the most important person you communicate with is Barbara. I mean...
I was going to ask a question.
Okay.
You're saying all this about the vibes and your communication, getting the energy across. So is that part of your concept of the voice? Are you taking the voice then beyond what comes out of your mouth?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because what comes out of your mouth is the end result of stuff that's going on in your head, going on inside you. And this is why it's important to kind of communicate with yourself along the lines of what you were saying earlier, the internal dialogue that takes place, because that helps you to get in touch with what you're feeling. And you don't have to judge it. You don't have to say, oh, that's good. No need to judge it. Just take the time to acknowledge what you're feeling, to acknowledge your emotion. Because when you think about it, that's what gets communicated when you're connecting with people, that feeling. Isn't it? That's what we are talking about. And if you're talking about influencing and inspiring and motivating people, that's just not something you read from a book. To do it authentically, it has to come from within you. And that has to be, what is it you're feeling? To get to that place, you need to spend some time. What is it? What is my intention? What do I want to happen as a result of me saying this? And why do I want it to happen? When you can get a bit more clarity along those lines, it then means the energy physically, the words coming out of your mouth, using your voice, the energy from within you, they all then carry the essence of what your intention is.
And therefore, who you are.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking that the voice, we think of the voice as being, again, the words, the tone and all of those things, but we actually probably communicate more, and what authentically is communicated is the essence of who we are, how we are, how we're being as we are saying those words. So yeah. You can say wonderful things, but if the vibe that's coming from you is not matching what you're saying, then what I pick up is more likely to be the vibe, and the words will just fly straight past.
Absolutely.
So then the voice, the thing you're trying to get across, is more than just the words. It's a whole package.
Yeah.
It's a whole download.
Yeah, it's a massive download, trillions of terabytes. Yeah, because why speak? Why are you speaking? Yeah, I mean, okay, we know that people talk and talk and talk, but in truth and in fact, when you open your mouth to use your voice, it's an amazing opportunity to share something of yourself. And again, this is sometimes the reason that people are a bit afraid of recognizing or developing their voice with a capital V, because, you know, we say that the eyes are windows to the soul, but to some extent, your voice and how you deliver things reflects on what's going on inside you. I mean, my goodness, we've all had the experience of talking to somebody that we know on the phone and something is wrong with us. And we're trying to pretend that we're good, that everything is groovy, man. But we're talking and then the person is saying, so what's wrong? And you're saying, no, everything is all right, it's good, it's good. Say, no, it's not, because it's reflected in your voice. And why is it reflected in your voice? From a physical side, the emotions are affecting your breathing, which in turn is affecting your voice. But from a non-physical side, when you're off balance, I think we've all experienced, sorry, mustn't generalize. I think many people have experienced when something is not happening. There's either a depression, an anxiety, a frustration, something. And it's like you're trying to express it to somebody, but it's just not getting across because you're now disconnected from who you really are. Has that been your experience, Barbara? Barbara, your we didn't hear your voice. You lost your voice because you're muted, yes.
So you're disconnected from who you are because your internal voice is not being heard. Because as you were thinking, saying about the eyes being the windows to the soul, I was then thinking, is the mouth the speaker of the soul? Or what? So what is coming out of my mouth will be my truth. And it will be my truth, whether it's authentic or inauthentic. Because if what's coming out of my mouth does not resonate with my soul, others will pick it up.
Yeah.
So it's out there.
And they pick it up even when we try to hide it. I mean, yes, we know that it's possible to learn how to be a deceiver. And I think many of us to varying degrees do that from time to time. But yeah, especially people who know you, who've been around you, they can pick it up. They can pick up that there's a disconnect. But you know, when we get to the point of acknowledging what we're feeling and getting in touch with our emotions, and sometimes we need help, you know, because sometimes we really can't do it on our own. Sometimes we do need help. But when we get to that place or we're traveling in that direction, what we find is that the associated fear gets less because we're now facing these things that we were running from. And the more that fear gets less, the more we have control over that inner energy. And when that happens, the more we are willing to allow it to be, because the fear isn't there. The fear comes because we don't know, well, what am I feeling? What's going to happen? If I let it out, if I let people know, oh my gosh, what are they going to think? But when that fear begins to lessen, we can allow who we are, what we're really feeling, to be expressed. And this creates a sense of, as you said earlier, Barbara, this creates a sense of confidence, of openness, a confidence and clarity about what we want to share, and the awareness that what we have to share is of value. And I think that's important.
So that's where it comes back to the soul. As you're talking, I'm thinking all of these things, clearing away the fear, clearing away the strong emotions in particular. It's like cleaning the crystal ball. It's getting rid of the gunk that is preventing you from seeing the jewel underneath. Mixed metaphor, but you know what I mean. So in order to really be clear of your voice, to be able to influence with greater impact, you need to come from within, a place within that is clean and clear in who you are, about who you are, who it is that's communicating. And I think what this has meant for me is it's about digging and delving through the layers of stuff that have accumulated from relationships and experiences. I was talking earlier about the voices, the voice of the parent, the voice of the teacher, the voice of people we've passed through in our lives whose voices come up when we are at challenging points sometimes. And they're the voices that tell you, you can't do that. Who are you to think that you could do that? Who are you to think that you belong there? People like us don't do that. People who come from where we come from can't do that. And there's this internal battle. And if those voices are loud enough, we usually stop moving. We stand still because they must be right. We've heard them so often, and they're so big and they're so strong, they must be right. But by practicing, dealing, letting that little voice come out, as I mentioned, I do use journaling, and journaling has helped me to give that small voice greater power. Mm-hmm. So I can write down that thought, like, who am I to think I can accomplish this? And then have a conversation with that voice on paper. Who am I not to? What's wrong with that? Why can't I? And that to and fro conversation lets that little voice become more powerful, and it will say, who are you not to be like that?
Yeah.
Or it will give me suggestions as to ways to go. And that builds my confidence. And sometimes in that process of the conversation with my own inner voice, I get insights and thoughts that are original to me. Uh-huh. And that's special because I realized how many of my thoughts can be unoriginal. They're somebody else's album that's been playing in my head for years and years. So getting to thoughts that are original for me, original meaning they're about me, they are unique to me and where I'm going in my life and what I'm feeling in my life at this point and what I want to give myself permission to do and be, that is when that voice becomes clear and the other voice is shut down and I can hear myself.
You can hear your voice, basically. You can then hear your voice. And what you're speaking about is that growing in confidence. And that growing in confidence is what allows us to communicate from a deeper place, a deeper space. And we said that it's not really voice training, but you know what? You could probably call it that, because internal voice training the internal voice, which in turn helps you to use the external voice. And as we said, the voice physically is a modality of the communication process. And communication at its very essence, again, is an exchange of energy. And the voice is a tangible presence. We can grasp it because it's there. But it's important to align that internal energy, that is our intention, with the external energy or the voice that is being heard. Because remember, you are communicating before you speak. Before you open your mouth, you're communicating. And then after you have spoken, you're still communicating. So what's going on there? It's the energy that is still, that comes before you speak, and it's the residual tail off after you've spoken. And that's the internal voice that continues. So if we can use this external voice that we hear to better represent the internal voice, then we get to a place of congruence. Yeah.
And I have found that when you're in that point, what you say, or I should say what I say, lands, it connects with people. I think that's where the authenticity is then conveyed, and people are able to resonate with what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because they too have experienced something like that. And that's the connection of the energy.
But isn't it amazing that to really grasp the fact that, you know, it's like somebody once said to me, everything that happens to you is not just for you. It's part of a bigger experience. And aligning with what you're saying is that when we are able to get to a point of developing, because I don't know if we ever really reach, but we're on the journey as we're working towards bringing these two things together. When we speak, how we speak, the internal voice of who we are, what we mean, what we represent, when that begins to be in sync with what's actually coming out of our mouth, then there is that alignment, that congruence, that the ability to land. Because
when it lands, it doesn't matter if your grammar is off, if you use the wrong words, it all of that doesn't matter, because there's an essence that connects, which is more than the words.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I guess we can say that when our thinking, our intention, the words coming out of our mouth, our body language, all sending the same message, that's when we're most believable, because everything is in alignment. We come across as being real, being genuine. Because if any of those things are not in alignment, what happens is we're sending mixed messages.
Mm-hmm.
And when people send mixed messages, there's no way that they can influence or be impactful.
Yeah.
There has to be that alignment between who and what we are, the energy we're radiating, and the words coming out of our mouth.
And I see that in situations where I am with audiences or with people who are sharing. I work with a lot of people from the nonprofit sector, and many of them are very passionate about their mission or their particular agenda. And for many of them, they're working in that area because of a personal experience. They have tapped into their own stories, their own experiences, and they have determined that they want to make the world different because of what they experience. So when they speak from that place, whether it's about child sexual abuse, domestic violence, their passion for the environment, or dealing with fear or the school system, whatever it is that they feel passionate about, when they speak from that place, they create a powerful message that people listen to. So it's not this coolly put together document. It's not an essay that they are then reading and presenting. They're speaking from the heart, from the experience of the heart, from their experience of life, from their passion and their intention for a better world, a better community, whatever it is. And that's influence and that's impact. You're speaking authentically from your passion, from good intention, and with a purpose that is for everybody. It's beyond just you.
Right. So it is now your internal voice and your external voice combining. And I think that brings us to the time when we have the 3-minute reflection.
And I guess that means I'm doing it since there's that long pause.
Yes. Well, the main reason that you're doing it, Barbara, is because you're so good at it, you see?
Okay, folks, if you want to join in, please put down whatever it is you're doing and just take a couple of minutes to switch off some of the external sounds except my voice. And if you can put your feet flat on the floor and take a couple of nice deep breaths. Breathing from your belly if you can. So as you inhale, let your belly expand and let it contract as you exhale. Some nice deep breaths. And as you're doing those nice deep breaths, just allow your shoulders to relax. Let your body relax. Know that you're safe. Trust that where you are sitting will hold you up. Trust that you're in good hands. And feel your feet against the surface beneath them. Just feel that texture. Focus your attention now on your heart. And feel the rhythm of your heart. See if you can feel the rhythm of your heartbeat. Move your attention up to your throat. And just feel the energy in your throat. This is the means by which your voice is expressed. Feel it. And be aware of the energy in your throat. And know that you have the right to voice your feelings, the right to voice your thoughts. Just play with that thought. I have the right to voice, give voice to my feelings. I have the right to give voice to my thoughts, my thoughts, my feelings. And just reflect on what that would mean. Expressing yourself. As you are. With full permission. From yourself. With authority given to yourself. It is permission to be who you are, as you choose to be, in that body, in that world. in the relationships that you choose for yourself. Take that permission to be, to voice, to feel. And use it for the benefit of self and all you encounter. Take a couple of nice deep breaths again. And bring yourself back into this space.
Thank you. Wow. Questions are starting to come in. So I'm going to start with the first question. There's somebody who I know who has a heart of gold, but when she speaks, her ability to communicate is hampered by the way she speaks. And often it turns people off, and they stop listening or even trying to understand her. I know her, and so I listen past her tone, her voice, and just hear her message. But is there actually a way of listening to people where you hear their message and not worry about their emotions or the tone of voice or even the language they use in your experience?
Well, that would require deep, active and loving listening. But that is probably most likely to come from someone you're in a relationship with. Because if you are speaking to an audience of strangers, the onus is on you to communicate in a way that your audience can receive and be willing to listen. So if someone has a challenge with communicating, expressing in ways that are conducive to achieving their goals, then some training can assist, because sometimes we have picked up habits of speech that are not our own. We might speak the same way our parents did, a particular lilt or particular nasality, because some people transfer that from one person to another. So it might just be a matter of that person learning how to speak in their own authentic voice, and maybe just moving past some habits that are just a matter of retraining. But certainly, as the speaker, the onus is on you to communicate. As the listener or the audience, we can be generous. We can aim to be generous and put ourselves in the position of the speaker and try to listen past the noise, the distractions. But really the onus is on the speaker to get those words out effectively. What do you think, Garfield?
Yes. Lots of us do have that challenge, largely because of the influences we have had growing up and early in life, and sometimes because of traumas that we've had, which can lock our voices down. So the heart is in the right place, but we've developed defense mechanisms that don't allow what's in there. And it's a process of freeing it up. And as we said earlier, sometimes we might need some training, or if it is a trauma that is significant, we may need some professional help. That's a possibility. But oftentimes it's simply a process of training yourself, either getting training or doing research, so that you can better express yourself, learn how to say what you want to say with a tone of voice that is more easily digested.
Yes. someone asked the question, do we really want congruence depending on the other person's energy? For example, if we're feeling low and our energy is low, we may not want to burden another person, especially if we know that person is going through something difficult, for example, a bereavement. Also, do we necessarily want congruence when talking with someone who seems judgmental of us?
That's an that's an interesting one. And it harkens back to what we were saying earlier about getting in touch with your self, what you consider to be your real self, your authentic self. Because you see, the thing is, congruence is important to, because if you don't work on developing an aspect of congruence, then whatever state of mind you're in, your message is not going to land very well, because the person you're speaking to, or the persons, if it's a large group, will pick up on that lack of alignment. They'll pick up on the fact that you're sending mixed messages. So the aspect of being a good communicator also involves, and Barbara touched on it earlier, also involves learning to listen deeply. Deep listening. And deep listening is not only what the person is saying, but you begin to develop a sense of what they're feeling, because it's almost like you start feeling the energy. So that gives you a hint that if your energy is low, you don't want to burden the person, but you won't know that unless you get a sense of what's coming from the person. And then you can adjust what you have to say so that you don't burden them. Or if it's somebody you know, you can actually ask permission, because you can't just offload on somebody and the next thing you know, they're knocked out. You can actually ask permission and let the person very honestly know if it's too much, it's okay, you know. But that's part of the communication process as well.
So the congruence that we're talking about isn't you being congruent with the other person. It's the congruence of your authentic inner feeling and intention, matching your voice and your body language. There's congruence within you. Then the other aspect that you seem to be referring to is matching your energy, connecting with the other person, which is more about, as Garfield was saying, matching where they're from and being able to discern, is this the right moment? Is this the right person? But the congruence we were talking about was the congruence within the self. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes in three parts. So I'll read it out to you. Mm-hmm. If it's not too personal, can you give some examples of when you've been talking to the voice in your head and making your inner voice stronger? What questions did the quiet voice use to challenge negative voices? I find it difficult to find questions to challenge those powerful voices in my head. Did you use any resources to find questions to challenge those voices?
Lovely. I try to do it like a conversation I would have with a close friend, if the voices are friendly, because sometimes they're very assertive and aggressive, and because they're voices from relationships in the past, they can come across as very forceful. But I would challenge them, you know, what gives you the right to tell me I can't? I'm trying to think of an example. A relationship with someone where I felt disadvantaged, I felt offended, I was angry at the person, and I just wanted an opportunity to vent. I was looking for an opportunity to really spill the venom I felt inside me on them. And journaling about it, part of myself is saying, well, what gives you the right to spill your venom like that? Suppose that person doesn't deserve it. Suppose they're going through something. So it's challenging my own thoughts. Some of the harder thoughts that I have spoken of with friends are the kinds of thoughts that tell you you're really not good enough. And they're repeated fault-finding conversations. And it helps to track back. Where did you come from? You know, I would put in meditation, this is put that character with that voice in front of me on an imaginary chair and dialogue with them to try and find out where did you come from? And sometimes it's from a stage in my life. So like maybe when I was a child, a concept that I embraced based on what other people told me. And learning to relate to that in a forgiving way. Okay, so you are there, you're thinking like that, you speak like that because of that particular experience. And now speaking as an adult to that child, giving the information that's accurate. You know, that's not true. That's not really true about you. And giving that child self of mine the evidence. Look what you have achieved. Look what you did do. So that I'm changing the narrative of that part of the inner version of me. I hope that helps and answers your question. Yeah. But let me know if it didn't.
An interesting resource is the work done by Byron Katie. It's called The Work. That comes from asking, is this true? Do I know that it is true? What would happen if this didn't exist, etc. It's a process of going through, and that has helped some people as well. And journaling is very good, but it's also with asking, as Barbara said, asking those voices the question, asking mm-hmm. the question.
And if it's, I'm sorry to interrupt you, that's what husbands and wives do.
No. I just want
to. And I do it because I think I'm going to forget what I was going to say. But I wanted to add that if it is really intrusive and oppressive, it really does help to talk to somebody professionally. I have had the help of friends and people in support groups. I have spoken to therapists, counselors, various kinds of people who can help me, because often the people in my family or my friends, I didn't want to burden them with it, or I felt embarrassed about having these thoughts. So it really did help to speak to somebody outside my usual friend group. Okay. And you owe it to yourself.
Thank you. And the person who asked the question says, it does help. Thank you. You did answer her question. Okay, the next question. In modern times with virtual communication, how can we listen deeply?
Yes, that is a big one in the world we live now. And of course, this type of virtual or mixed communication, mixed learning, mixed meetings, will be going on for quite some time. There are similarities and there are differences to live face-to-face and in a virtual setting. Obviously, this is a webinar, so we can't see any of you. But when it's a meeting, as far as possible, we usually, in the training that we do, is to encourage people in their meetings to have their cameras on. So you can actually see the other persons in the virtual room, because part of getting a sense of what is not spoken, the unspoken word, is also, when I say reading body language, that's often misunderstood, because reading body language is something we do naturally. In fact, we pick up cues, even if we haven't studied it, we can get a sense. But by observing how somebody is responding to what is being said, helps us to get a better handle on listening to them. because we are not just, because remember, listening is not just with the ears. It's a multi-sensory experience. We listen with our ears, with our eyes, we listen with our heart, our minds, etc. So it's really about looking at the person who's speaking and trying to remove from your own thinking your prejudices, preconceptions of what they may or may not mean, and just simply give them the time to express themselves. And that's done much better if you can see the person, you know. And if you're in a meeting, it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to have the cameras on for the whole meeting, but just at significant parts of the meeting when things are being processed, for example, because some people don't like to have the cameras on all the time, but just at key parts so that everybody in the space has an opportunity to see each other and to relate.
Mm-hmm. And in the face-to-face scenario, a crucial part of the multi-sensory listening is, of course, your undivided attention, because giving your undivided attention allows for the connection to happen. So your undivided attention and listening, letting the words go into your ears, letting the impressions come into your eyes, and to all the other senses that you may use, because much of what you might pick up of importance will be unspoken. So deep listening picks up the unspoken as well as the verbal. And you, I'm sure a large percentage of you that are listening are sensitive in many ways. You may be empathic. You pick up on people's energies. You sense what's going on. So pulling all of those extra special skills in allows you to get to the soul level of what the person is saying and where they're coming from. But it requires the practice of listening to yourself. You can give yourself that attention, then you know how to give it to others.
All right, that actually leads us into the next question. Earlier in the talk, you spoke of accepting all of yourself, including all the yucky bits, in order to be clear on what's going on for you. How do you do that if you're not used to this? Mm. It seems to be a starting point to this process of being authentic.
Yes, thanks for that amazing question. And you're absolutely right. It is a starting point. And it's really, you know, starting points are supposed to be easy, but it's really like being thrown in the deep end, because it's a big one. And we are who we are, the good, the bad, the ugly. But we've often been trained, as Barbara was saying earlier, that, okay, you mustn't do this. This is no good. I don't like it when you do this. I don't like it when you do that. But the fact is, you did that because that was part of you. And until you can accept that that is how you are sometimes, then there's no way you can deal with it. And I didn't use the word yucky, but you're absolutely right. That's a wonderful word to use. I haven't heard that for a long time, but it's absolutely appropriate. Because, you know, it's really by getting in touch with those yucky bits that we get a light bulb goes off and we get a sense of what we really are like. Because it's not until we can face some of those unpleasant parts of ourselves that we can get to know ourselves. If we're only looking at the parts that are woo, then that's not really us, because the us that other people see, sometimes they see the yucky stuff. And so if we can, as we say in this part of the world, if we can take in front and have a look at that yucky stuff, and as Barbara was saying earlier, try to understand, well, where is it coming from, and work with it, it begins to lose its power over us, because we are throwing a light on it. It's no longer hiding in the darkness. We are throwing light on it, and that starts to remove some of the fear that we have of it. But it's simple to say, And you are right. It is a difficult thing to do, but it is very early on in the journey that we have to approach it.
And a good starting place is to get rid of the labels.
Yeah.
Get rid of the yucky and the bad and the wrong. What if nothing was wrong? If all the parts of you were just as they're supposed to be.
Right. And that's why we said earlier about, you know, when you look at all these parts, try not to judge them.
Yeah.
Don't judge them. They are
there. They're just the result of experiences. They're just responses to experiences, and don't make them wrong. Be compassionate with yourself. Particularly if you're a parent, it can be a little bit easier, because if you can then see yourself as you might see one of your children, and the love you have for your child, and how we forgive our children over and over again. So they may do things that are annoying, but that doesn't make them bad. It doesn't stop you loving them. So if you can have that self-compassion and explore the parts of yourself that you're uncomfortable with, because that's what it is. You're actually uncomfortable with this part of you, because maybe it's not wearing makeup, maybe it's a bit sloppy. It doesn't fit the description of perfect. If you can look at that part of yourself with compassion, you will see most times that it exists because of some wounded part of yourself. It's hurting. It's demonstrating pain. It's bleeding. And so it looks distorted. So it's to get in there and soothe and help it heal. Just give it attention and listen to its story and forgiveness. I understand. If I understand why you're like that. And you're a bit odd. You're not quite how I want you to be, but hey, you're kind of nice. You have some qualities that are admirable, because there may be a point at which you want to bring out those not so attractive aspects of yourself, because they are protective. And many times those are protective parts of the self. So compassion, stop labeling them. No wrong. Just wounded. And help those parts heal.
Wow, thank you very much. And Barbara Garfield, thank you so much for making the time and joining us today and sharing some insights with us. It's really appreciated.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. It's much appreciated. Thank you for everyone who joined in and participated. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Great. Good night, everybody. Stay safe and stay well.
You
good night.
Stay happy. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Bye-bye.